Welcome to Mox on the Mic, your exclusive look into all things Chattanooga athletics. Here's your host, Chris Goforth.
Mox on the Mic back with you for another week, and it's time for us to talk a little bit of Chattanooga golf. Head coach of the Mox, Blaine Woodruff, is going to join us. We'll also visit with student athlete Sam Espinosa. How about Chattanooga golf, by the way? Off to a fantastic start to the fall portion of their season. They have notched victories in their first two events this year, and they've beat some really good teams in the process. So looking forward to today. We'll visit with Sam coming up in a few. Let's start with the head coach of the Mox. Here's our conversation with Blaine Woodruff. Well, Coach, first off, congratulations on two wins to start the year. Kind of take us through these what these last 2 weeks have been like for you guys.
Thanks, Chris. Obviously, it's a great way to start. But you know, it's really just a testament to our guys and how hard kind of they worked this summer. I mean, they came back ready to go. We had a really competitive qualifying for both events, two different lineups, and the guys just went out there both events and competed and kind of focused on just controlling what we could control as a group, and the results just came. So really happy for them, but you know, now it's about not getting focused on rankings or the future and just kind of continuing to do what we can day by day to get a little bit better and building off of that.
How do you judge success? And I ask that because, look, you're coaching a sport that has a team score, but also individual scores. It's possible to have an individual do really well, but not do well as a team. How do you judge that?
Yeah, golf is such a hard game. And that's actually a really good question. What we try to do really is to judge our success based off of like controlling what we can and our commitment level and our process level and our routine and the things that are in our control, which sadly, as much as we want it to be, results aren't in that part. As golfers, we want to try to control what we shoot and control the results, but that's one thing that you can't. You can control the things that give you your best chance to have good results, whether that's individually or as a team, but you can't control the result itself. So kind of something that I always preach to our guys is at the end of the day, if we can lay down in our hotel beds on the road and know that we did everything we could to give it our best that day and control what we could, then it doesn't matter what the result is. We can live with that and move on and get ready for the next opportunity.
You guys have been able to get wins this year over a lot of Power Five squads. Is that something, do your guys think about that? Do you notice the intensity maybe gets ramped up just a little bit when they know the field has a Texas A&M or a Cal or a Louisville or somebody like that in it?
Yeah. I mean, they're always fun to beat, but at the same time, Chris, I mean, we were right there at NCAA's last year. And so our guys feel like they belong, you know, like it's the mid-major kind of label is just a title. I mean, we got five guys too, just like they got playing, and our low four scores count every day too, just like them. So they feel like they belong, and yeah, they cherish that opportunity a little bit to kind of beat up on the big name schools, but at the same time, we feel like we belong with those guys, and we can beat those guys day in, day out.
Paul Conroy won the Southern Conference Golfer of the Week last week. A little bit about Paul and kind of his for a guy that he wasn't in the lineup for that first tournament, right?
Yeah, you're right. So I think we've talked about it before on here, but we don't do coaches picks. So a lot of schools will do coaches picks for qualifying to see who travels for the event, but our low five guys go, and it's kind of part of our culture, just about earning it. You have to earn it every day. And Paul would be the first to say that, you know, he didn't play well in the first qualifier and he didn't deserve to go. And so it was really interesting to see, like, you know, I as a coach, I felt like I knew how he would respond, but it was really cool to see how he responded. And he actually texted me that night. And he said, "Coach, this won't happen again." He's like, "I'll be there for the next one." So he ended up winning the next qualifier. He worked his tail off and obviously was ready to go for Cincinnati and finish low man on the team. So super proud of him. I mean, that's a piece of adversity there. He had the battle, and you've got kind of two routes that you can choose. You can kind of run from it and complain and hide, or you can take it head on and try to use it as a learning experience and figure out how to get better. And that's what he did. And I'm really happy that the results came for him this week after his kind of willingness to fight through it and get ready for the next week and get ready for his next opportunity and take advantage of it.
I feel like the expectations for him have been really high since he got here. How good is he? What is the ceiling for a guy like Paul Conroy?
Well, the ceiling's really high. He's a great player. Something that he's gotten so much better at over the last year is a short game. I mean, that was when I first got here, that was by far his weakness. And he's worked really hard on that. It's been frustrating at times for him, I know, but this week he made three bogeys, which I think might have been the fewest in the field at Cincinnati. And two of them were three putts. So, I mean, he basically got up and down every single green that he missed. And, man, that just takes a lot of pressure off your game, off your ball striking. And, you know, I think that he went from kind of being maybe a little scared when he missed a green and he wasn't going to get it up and down to kind of embracing the fact that his short game's so good now. And that's what it takes to play at the next level. And so, yeah, his ceiling's really high. And I think his confidence is continuing to build. And so, yeah, just taking it a day at a time and trying to get better.
We're going to talk with Samuel Espinosa here in just a minute. What do we need to know about him?
Sam's awesome. I mean, he's kind of the jokester on the team. He's really, really lighthearted, but you get him on the golf course and he's a competitor, and he's another one that's really worked hard to improve, not just physically, but mentally on the golf course, kind of how he approaches rounds, taking pressure off of himself and really kind of taking it one shot at a time and focusing on what he can do to give himself the best chance to have good results without, you know, trying to control those things, kind of like we talked about earlier. And he's really kind of found his way of doing that this year. And I think the results of, you know, winning Erin Hills and finishing, I think, fourth at Cincinnati, that kind of speaks for itself. So it's just the beginning for him, but yeah, really, really excited about what he has in store for this year.
Has there been a surprise? I mean, you've got guys that have played a lot of golf for you. Has there been a surprise out of this group?
I wouldn't really point out to anything individually. I would just say how deep we are as a team. I mean, it just our first two qualifiers, even the guys that were at the bottom, we're not that far off from qualifying. So that's exactly what you want as a coach. I mean, our qualifying at home is competitive, and our 10 guy is pretty close to being in the lineup. So it's like they're pushing each other, and everybody knows whether, like, I mean, for example, Paul, I mean, he's been an all conference guy for 2 years and doesn't qualify for the first event. And while that might not be the most exciting thing for him to miss an event to start the season, I think he would agree now that it was probably the best thing for him. And so having guys around you that just push you to be the best that you can be every single day, that's what you want as a coach, but you never know exactly how it's going to go. And that's how it's been this year. So this is a special group, and I feel like these guys will continue to push each other, but also have each other's back and encourage each other and be there for each other when times are good and when times are bad too. So really, really special group we got this year, and really looking forward to the future with these guys.
I know you want to win at every opportunity, but when you do you approach the fall differently than you will approach the spring?
Not much. I mean, it all counts as far as kind of our record and our ranking and what goes towards making postseason. I mean, the fall we might have a couple more individual spots so where we can get guys some playing time that maybe wouldn't have it come late spring, and really by the end of the spring our lineup is somewhat pretty set. But it doesn't really change a whole lot. I mean, it's just as important. But really just trying to think kind of long term instead of short term. I mean, it's been great that we've won these first two events, but really trying to kind of peak for when postseason comes around and learn what we can about each guy on the golf course, especially the guys that maybe haven't had as much tournament experience as others. Using that and creating a plan of how to get better and just build as the year goes on.
You guys have got a, I guess, a little bit of a break here before the Furman Intercollegiate, which starts on the 22nd of October. What's the itinerary like for you guys between now and then, over these next, 3 or so weeks?
Yeah, so last week was pretty light. Gave him basically the whole week off after we got back from Cincinnati, just because we do have some time here, and then we're gonna slowly start building up kind of from today. We won't start qualifying until probably the 13th of October once we get a little bit closer to Furman. So just focus on kind of some development time. We got going really fast this year. Part of that was the Erin Hills event was pretty early after school started, but it was also a great event. So we felt like we couldn't really turn that down, the opportunity to go play in that. But now we actually have some time to kind of dig in, both in the weight room and at practice as far as kind of developing and getting better and working with each guy. And so that's going to be kind of our focus for the next probably 2 weeks. And then they'll get a chance to kind of show off and compete at qualifying, and we'll see what lineup we got for Furman.
You mentioned being in the weight room. Can you just talk a little bit on your philosophy from a strength standpoint, I guess, and what you're trying to achieve with these guys, or what you want to see them achieve when they get in the when they get in the weight room?
Yeah, so I mean, there's kind of two parts to it. I mean, ever since Tiger came on the scene, I mean, fitness has become a big deal in golf. And so Coach P, Jerry Pacetti, our strength coach, has done a fantastic job with our guys, doing a lot of sports-specific kind of golf training stuff, so rotational stuff and explosive power stuff with our guys. And both myself and my assistant coach Nick Robinson, we're in there with the guys working out at 5:45 in the morning with them twice a week. And that's kind of one of our things. It's like, if we're going to ask them to do it, we're going to do it too. We're all on the same team, and we're all a big family here. So it's fun. I mean, we get in there with them and throw weight around and give each other a hard time in there. But the second part of it is, doing something that you might necessarily want to do. I mean, not many people want to wake up at 5:15 to go to workouts. And unfortunately, or fortunately, that's something you got to learn how to do. There's going to be things that you want to do that, or you don't want to do that you have to do to get better. And that's kind of the second piece of it too. So, doing it as a group, it's been pretty cool, and Coach P is fantastic at what he does, and our guys are just continuing to get stronger from a physical standpoint and mentally too. Just having to be in there week in, week out, and kind of bring it and be competitive in another area outside of the golf course. I think that as competitive as we can be in every single area, it's only going to make us better.
You've got two events left: the Furman Intercollegiate, which is the one we just talked about, and then the very next week you head to Alabama for the Steelwood Collegiate. A little bit about the competition you're going to face with these two events. Let's start with Furman, but a little bit about the competition that you guys are going to see.
Yeah, so Furman's actually the only event on the schedule that we had on last year's schedule. So it's the only one we're returning to as defending champs. Texas A&M will be there this year, and then there's some other solid teams as well. So we're gonna have to bring it, but it's a golf course that I feel like suits us really well. That we obviously played well at last year, and we know how to play. And then Steelwood. Alabama will be there. That'll be our first time seeing them this fall. So I know our guys are excited about that. But, you know, at the same time, like with every event, it's not – our focus is never just on one team, and it's really not on anybody other than ourselves. If we start focusing on who we want to beat, that kind of takes away from what we're doing and kind of adds a little bit of a mental distraction. So the plan stays the same. It doesn't matter the field. It's just doing what we can and trying to bring our best and seeing where that stacks up at the end of the day. But two good opportunities to end the fall. And I know our guys are excited and they'll be ready.
Where is Loxley, Alabama?
Just outside of Mobile.
A little bit of a road trip then for you guys. Little bit of a ride to get there.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
What do you know about that course? You guys haven't played there before. Have you started homework on figuring out a game plan for how to attack it?
Yeah, always doing homework. I played in a junior golf tournament out there a while back, but they've redone the course since then. But it's a good golf course, hard golf course. So it'll be a good test. It's actually one event where we'll kind of get a practice round and a half. So we'll actually get to play the day before the practice round, probably nine holes. So we'll get another look at it. So doing what I can from here and trying to kind of implement that into how we practice and prepare as far as getting ready. And then we'll have some time down there to get used to the course itself and the grasses and kind of how it's playing. And we'll just go from there.
Coach, a great start to the season. We'll look forward to catching up with you again sometime before the start of the new year. But appreciate the time and good luck to you guys.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you.
Thanks to Coach Woodruff, as always, for the time. Here's Sam Espinosa, who has been extremely consistent this year in his performance for Chattanooga Golf. Sam, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little while. Tell us first, I want to hear your journey of how you ended up at Chattanooga Mock.
Okay, this is a long one. So when I first got to America, I actually signed for East Tennessee State. And I spent there my first 2 years. And then things didn't go well with the coach. We just didn't have the same goals. So I transferred to a small D2 school because, like, it was too late to transfer to a big D1 school. So I spent there 1 year. And then as soon as I got there, I put myself again in the portal transfer and talked to the old coach. And then when Blaine got the job, I signed with him. And, yeah, that's how I ended up in Chattanooga.
Where is home?
At Spain. So quite far from here. But it actually has a lot of similarities with Tennessee, like the countryside and all that is pretty similar. So, yeah.
What age did you start playing golf? How old were you?
About 3 years old. I started with my family because my whole family plays golf. So I started going with them to the golf course when I was, I'll say about 3 years old and kind of like start from there.
When did you realize, was there a moment when you thought, hey, I can do this and get an education and see the world?
So about when I was like 14, 15 years old, I started being part of the national team. So I started traveling internationally and all that. And then one of my coaches told me that in America, there was this opportunity of like study and play golf at the same time. So I worked hard for it. And my goal was to like get a scholarship here and play D1. So yeah, that goal was achieved. So.
Well, you've certainly had a ton of success. What's your favorite course? I mean, look, you've played in Spain, you've played in America, you've been a part of the national team for Spain. You've seen your share of golf courses. Have you got a favorite?
If I have to choose one, I'll choose the one back home, my home course, Pedreña. Just because all the history has, like Sebi Ballesteros been there, the views to the ocean and cliffs and everything. But I mean, if I have to pick one, that would be the one. But I mean, when I play in Japan, the course we play there, it felt like we were playing in the jungle, so it was pretty cool. Erin Hills, a few weeks ago, that was a pretty good setup. Yeah, I wouldn't know which one to pick besides the one back home.
What's the strength of your game? What do you feel like? What does Sam Espinosa do well?
I hit it pretty far, so I think I can have some sort of advantage with my driver because I normally hit it pretty straight and pretty far, so it's easier for me to get to the green than the rest of the guys.
So what's the typical drive off the tee for Sam Espinosa?
Normally carry around 310, 315 yards carry. And then with the roll, like 330, I'll say, yeah.
Good start for this season for you individually. Good start to this season for you guys as a team. Take me through these last 2 weeks and what it's been like for you guys in competition.
Well, as a team, we pretty much have the same lineup with the addition of three new guys that apport like a lot to the team. We just the only thing we try to do every day is just push each other in and out of the golf course. We treat us coaches included like family. So whenever somebody's struggling, the whole team is there for that person. We just put a lot of work in the golf course and at practice. And I think it's just kind of like paying off, kind of like last season as well. At the end of the last season, we saw a huge improvement on the team. And we kind of like did the same thing in the beginning of this season. So the first 2 weeks, we won back to back, and we felt like before the tournament started, like we had a huge opportunity to win each week, and we took it, yeah.
You seem to have been very consistent in your play to start the season. Would you agree with that? Do you feel like you've found some consistency in your game and in how you're hitting the ball?
Yes, I mean it's been pretty good. Top five and a win. I mean it's all you can ask. It's definitely like especially the win hit different because I'll say like a month and a half before that, I changed coaches, like the swing coach. So we were just you swing more consistent for like the future. And the struggle was real, and but we put a lot of work, and yeah, I mean, so far, pretty consistent, pretty good. So the only thing I can ask is keep working the same direction and go for it.
There's a lot of people listening to this, Sam, that like to go out on a Saturday or a Sunday and play golf somewhere. As a guy who plays a lot and plays competitively, what advice do you give for the guy that likes to go out and play 9 holes or 18 holes on the weekend every now and then?
To be fair, just have fun because it's definitely something that when we are out there, we have some lack of it. And sometimes when you have fun, you do better than when you have a lot of pressure, or you're not like enjoying it. So for them, I would just say have fun, enjoy what they're doing, and just spend some time out there, because I mean it's a beautiful sport to like disconnect from work or whatever. And yeah.
It really is a sport that you get out of it what you put into it, right? I mean, the way you get good is you have to put in the work and the hours and the time, whether it's at the driving range, on the putting green, or just playing rounds. But that's how you get good at this, right?
Yes, you have to put a lot of sacrifice into it, and I know, and like work ethic, because I mean, you need to practice a lot, and you need to like spend like pretty much every day working, but that doesn't like promise you that you're gonna do well. So by practicing and like being there and being consistent, like gives you more possibility to like do good than the rest of the people that don't work as hard. So, I mean, only thing you can do is what you can control, because there's a lot of things that you cannot control, and just like be disciplined, get a good nutrition, work every day, and that's pretty much all you can do to do good.
What's your major?
Sociology and business.
Tell me about your goals. What do you want to do after you finish at UTC?
So obviously the plan A, it's play professionally here in the States. If that thing doesn't work out, I'll look other like ways to do it, like playing in Europe or South America or Canada. But yeah, like at this point, like I'm not talking just for myself or like every single guy that's on my position right now. Like we work so hard that it wouldn't be like fair for us, and for all the people that's behind us, that not giving it a shot to like play for professionally. So.
Sam, I appreciate the time today and look forward to following you through the rest of the fall and into the spring. And maybe we can do this again before the Southern Conference Championships.
That would be awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Sam for his time as always. And again, thanks to Blaine Woodruff for being with us as well. Looking forward to seeing what these guys do. Two more events left in the fall, and then you get into the spring portion of the schedule. I think there's a lot of excitement around Chattanooga golf. Make sure you support these guys. You can learn more by going to gomox.com. We'll be with you again next week. I'm Chris Goforth. Until then, for our producer, Tate Johnson, so long, everybody, and go Mox.
Thanks for listening to Mox on the Mic. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. And we'll see you again soon.